And I think what we're going to share tonight is David is an awesome example of the things he's wrote and some of the things that he shared, how we can be a witness. You know, it's not always just about going up and saying A, B, C, D, the Romans road is this. It's witnessing is much more than that, and it's not that difficult. And you do it all the time, or sometimes, and you're not even aware of it. But to me, that's what we ought to be. We ought to live a life and have a lifestyle evangelism, so to speak, that is a witness to God at all times, not just when we decide to go out on visitation or a special time. In Psalms 145, I'm going to kind of go through this one a little bit and talk about it. Some of the others we'll just read about. But in Psalms 145, in verse 1, it says, I will exalt you, my God and King, and appraise your name forever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. Now, I was at a famous fish fry this week, just the other night, and I heard they were talking about who caught the biggest fish. And I won't call nobody's name, Pete Helton. I won't call Pete Helton's name. But anyway, he told me he caught a fish one time, and he didn't know how much it weighed, but it was 18 inches between the eyes. That's a big fish. Now, I tell you what, we serve a big God and a marvelous God, and it is great, and you can't imagine, you can't fathom how big he is. But he says, let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. Now, if you remember in the Old Testament, when they crossed on the Jordan, they put stones, memorial stones. We have some out here to remind us of that, of what God had done. Those stones would serve as a reminder. The Jewish people today still observe Passover. We have Passover around Easter. We talk about those things. And that's when that God led the people out of bondage, the Exodus, as you'll read about it. And they do that each year to remind them, to tell them what great things God has done. Now I want to ask you something. How long has it been since you told your story? Especially parents and grandparents. I remember a young man who's in seminary right now came to me one day. His grandpa got up in front of the church at almost 90 years of age one day and gave his testimony. And he said, you know, if you never do anything else, I appreciate it so much hearing my grandma or my grandpa share his testimony. We need to pass those down. It's instructions from God. That's what a witness is being, telling what God has done in your life. One great story I heard from a fellow one time, he talked about a young lady in another land, and she made a profession of faith, and if her parents found out she'd made a profession of faith, she would have been excommunicated from her family. I know a lot of people that's happened to, so she, even though she wanted to be a follower of Christ, she had to hide it from her folks as she was growing up, and they gave her a little New Testament and said, here, you take this New Testament, and you put it somewhere and you hide it. When nobody's around, you get it out and you read it and you grow and you'll know when the time's right to share with your parents. Well, she thought she had a great hiding place and she went to put her Bible in that hiding place and it wouldn't go in. And she felt up there and guess what was in that hiding place? Another New Testament. Her mother had trusted the Lord and already hidden the Bible there and been praying for that daughter for a long time, but she couldn't tell anyone because the father would have beaten them and possibly killed them and thrown them out of the house. But we don't have that issue here. We're in a land that we can share and we can talk and we can tell everybody about our faith and share what God has done for us, and he encourages us to do that. Then he says, I will meditate on your majesty, your glorious splendor, and your wonderful miracles. You know, you think about the Red Sea and Jesus healing the blind and the lame. And I remember Brother Randy talking about losing a little thing one time and he prayed and God helped him to find it. I have to do that a lot. But you know, that might not seem like a big deal, but sometimes it is a big deal and it can make a difference. I don't know if I ever shared this story here, but I was at Ridgecrest one time and we were just going through and stayed there and they were having a Boy Scout convention and we were just walking by and this guy said, how you doing? And this other fellow said, well, physically I'm okay, but mentally I'm shot. He said, I've lost my car keys and what I really need is a good strong drink. Well, he said it right as I got like right here And without thinking or hesitating, I just turned around and said, maybe what you need to do is pray. And he said, well, I hadn't thought of that, but I'm willing to try anything. And so we prayed, and I said, give me your car keys. Let's go unlock your car. He had his keys, but the doors wouldn't unlock. And he said, well, you're wasting your time. It won't unlock. But he gave me his keys, and I walked out through there. And to be honest with you, I was thinking, what have I done? But I went out there, and I prayed, and I said, God, I don't know why you had me to say that. But anyway, and I pushed the little button, and nothing happened. Then I stuck the key in there, and it popped right open. Then you get a little cocky. He opened that door right up, and I walked in. I said, here's your car keys. Your door's unlocked. He said, how did you do that? And Jonathan, here's what I told him. I said, God parted the Red Sea. Your car door ain't no big deal. He called his wife and said, you ain't going to believe this. This Baptist preacher come by and pray for me. That car is unlocked. They've been three people out there trying to unlock that car. Hertz is coming down here. I ain't never seen anything like it. I said, let me help you unload your car. Turns out he's a spiritist. He's got all these bear claws and all these things that he's going to be teaching the Boy Scouts. And he said, I've stood in the vortexes and I felt the vibrations, but I've never seen nothing like this. God used that simple car door to get that guy's attention. It had nothing to do with me. It was just God. But, you know, we need to let people know a little thing like a car door to some people is big things. And we just need to share a story how God works with us. He said, your all-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue, and I will proclaim your greatness. You know, when God answers your prayers, you need to thank him for it. And you need to let people know that God is interested in the little things and the big things. And just talk about him. You know, Zacchaeus. Now, what would happen tomorrow if you went and told somebody, did you hear about this little guy, Zacchaeus? Man, he wasn't big as nothing. He climbed up in this tree just so he could see Jesus. You know, you would think everybody knows that story. Everybody don't know that story. But how he changed the most corrupt guy in that town's life, they might say, you know, if there's hope for him, there's hope for me. He was the greatest outcast. And that's the kind of thing God wants us to do. Just share his stories of what he's done in your life and what he's done in others. He goes on to say that everyone will share the story of his wonderful goodness and they will sing about your righteousness. You know, if you just had to pick one verse of scripture to sum up what God has done for you, you could go to 2 Corinthians 5:21 where it says, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God. That's what it's all about. And then you can talk to people and say, you know, I've heard Randy talk about it. Many of you talked about one of our friends in India, how he used to cut his own arms and pour blood out on idols, trying just to appease the gods. But Hebrews 4:12 tells us that we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with us, but he can, because he's been tempted in all points just like we have. Yet he remained without sin. Therefore, we can come to the throne of grace in times of need that we might find grace and mercy there. You know, not everybody understands that. And everybody's going to have hard times. And they need to know where they can go when that happens. It says, the Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He shows compassion on all of his creation. You know, we talk about mercy and we talk about grace. There's a big difference. Mercy is just being less severe. In other words, you got in trouble, you're going to get 10 lashes, but we're going to cut it back. We're only going to give you 9 lashes. We're going to have mercy on you. Grace is full pardon. Aren't you glad we got grace instead of mercy? That God said it's all forgiven, it's all done, and his love is unfailing. And that all your works will thank you, Lord. Listen carefully. Your faithful followers will praise you. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom. They will give examples of your power. They will tell about your mighty deeds and about the majesty and glory of your reign. Now, first of all, he says, all of your works will thank you. You remember what Jesus said when people doubted him? If you don't believe in me, just believe in the works that I do. Just watch the Father work through me. Watch him do the things that would be impossible for man to do. And then he said, your faithful followers will praise you. They will speak. They will give examples. They will tell about your mighty deeds. Folks, that's witnessing. Now, if you, it says here, if you're a faithful follower, you will do that. Because God didn't bring the radio, and He didn't bring the TV, and He didn't bring the newspaper. You are His reporters. And the people around you, He asked you to tell about His glory, His examples of His love, and His mighty deeds. That's all He asked you to do. You sow the seed, you talk to the people, let Him know what's going on, and that's what a being a witness is. And then He says, your kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom. You rule throughout all generations. The Lord always keeps His promises, and He is gracious in all that He does. Well, two things that He promises. One, He says His word won't go out void. So you may share something with somebody and you think, well, that has no effect. It might not right then. But He promises it will be effect. And then the second thing here, it says His promises He always keeps. The Bible itself is the greatest witness. It's proven itself true over and over and over, and time is the greatest test. So when people say, well, I don't believe the Bible, they probably never read it. And if they have read it, they will understand. You can say to them, it's proven itself true. You can stand on it because the Bible itself is a great witness. But now, let's talk about that a little bit more, because that is an objection we get sometimes, that I just don't believe in the Bible. Well, Romans goes on to say in chapter 1, 18 through 20, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so they are without excuse. Now what does that say? Whether people believe the Bible or not, whether they come to church or not, they're going to be accountable to God. That's what it says right here. In Psalms 33, 6 through 9, and just jot these down, you can go back. The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and all the stars were born. He assigned the sea its borders and locked the ocean in vast reservoirs. Let the whole world fear the Lord, and let everyone stand in awe of Him. For when He spoke, the world began. It happened at His command. Psalms 19, 1 through 6. The heavens tell of the glory of God. The sky displays His marvelous craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make Him known. They speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is silent in the skies. Yet their message has gone out all over the earth, and their words to all the world. The sun lives in the heaven where God placed it. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. Then David goes on in Psalms 53 and 5 through 13. He says, you faithfully answer our prayers and with awesome deeds. O God, our Savior, you are the hope of everyone on earth, even those who sail on distant seas. You formed the mountains by your power and armed yourself with mighty strength. You quieted the raging oceans with their pounding waves and silenced the shouting of nations. Those who live at the ends of the earth stand in awe of your wonders. From where the sun rises to where it sets, you inspire shouts of joy. You take care of the earth and water it, making it rich and fertile. The rivers of God will not run dry. They provide a bountiful harvest of grain, for you have ordered it to do so. You drench the plowed ground with rain, melting the clods and leveling the ridges. You soften the earth with showers and bless the abundant crops. You crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. The wilderness becomes a lush pasture, and the hillsides blossom with joy. The meadows are clothed with flocks of sheep, and the valleys are carpeted with grain. They all sing and shout for joy. Now David's being a witness, just talking about the creation itself that God has made. He goes on to say one more I want to share with you. Psalms 95, come let us sing unto the Lord. Let us give a joyous shout to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving. Let him sing songs of praise. For the Lord is great, the great King above all gods. He owns the depth of the earth, and even the mightiest mountains are his. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands form the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before our Lord, our Maker, for he is God. We are the people. He watches over us, the sheep under his care. Oh, that you would listen to his voice today. Now, he tells us two things are revealed. His eternal power and the Godhead. Through creation, there is a supreme being. And because there is a supreme being, God calls us to submit to him. And creation is a witness of this. There will be no excuse, because God himself says, you know, you don't have to read the Bible. You just look at creation, because there it is. God and man both have the power to reveal what they want others to know. I want you to think about that. I saw a movie. I remember a story about a fellow. He was a prince, and he wanted to find true love. He wanted to find somebody and friends that would love him because who he was and not because of who his father was. And he left and he went to another town. He changed his name. He went there, and when they saw him, all they knew about him was this was a tall, thin young man with brown hair and brown eyes, and that's all they knew. All they could see was his physical attributes. But as they began to know him and begin to learn him, and he began to share and reveal himself to him, they learned more and more and more. And as the movie goes on, he found true love and then went to her daddy and said, I'd like to marry your daughter. And by the way, I happen to be the king's son, and she'll be moving to the mansions, and everything's going to be wonderful, and everything's going to be glorious. Well, you know, God can choose to reveal himself the same way. And he chose creation to physically reveal himself to every person in the world, whether it's a savage in Africa that is a headhunter that's never seen anything, he can see the glory of God, he can see the moon, the stars, or whether it's the most intellectual person in the world with the most degrees, God can speak through the heavens the same way as he reveals himself in those ways. It says this, the invisible is made known by what he has made visible. Now, 1 John 1:18 says, no man has seen God, but creation itself proves that he exists. The evidence as him creating all things and his sustaining power is present to every eye and every heart. I want you to think about that. Where they never read a thing, where they never saw a missionary, where they never saw anybody, God says that it's available to everyone. Now, when you think about how big the universe is, they tell me, I've never measured the sun, but you know, scientists tell us that the sun, if it was hollow, we could take over 1 million Earths and put inside the sun. And that would be comparing an orange to the size of a little grain of sand. And I just heard on the radio just a few weeks ago that they've discovered a new star now that would make our sun look like the size of a marble. That's a lot bigger than that 18-inch crossfish, isn't it? It's huge. And God's glory and his splendor is beyond what we can ever fathom. And for people to look and to say that there is no God, there's nothing out there, creation itself will be a witness, and they will be without excuse, because the galaxies themselves will condemn him. Now, I want you to think about this. We go all the way back to Adam and Eve, and the devil comes to them and says, you should eat of this fruit, because then you will be like God, and you will know as he knows. Can you believe they bought into that? The creator of the galaxy, that they could know what he knows, that you and I could know what he knows, that we could understand, that we could possibly even begin to fathom what they did. It was not about knowing good from evil. It was about they didn't want to submit to the God of creation. See, that's the choice that has to be made. Everything in that garden was theirs. But he said, if you eat of this tree, you will die. One thing. Do everything else, but this one thing you do, and it's going to kill you. And they rebelled against God. And the tragedy is that so many other people will do the same thing. Creation reveals the fact that there is a God, and God calls on man to submit to himself. Now, time and time again, and even as I thought about this passage again that we've used in John 15, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I want you to think about something. It is God who gave the atheists breath to say, there is no God. He couldn't even say that I don't believe, had not the Lord given him the breath to say it. We can truly do nothing without God, the creator of the universe, and the universe itself is an excuse. He says we are without excuse when we stand before him, because we've seen his glory and his majesty, to know that there's a supreme being far above us, and that we must submit to that supreme being. And that supreme being is God and his son, Jesus Christ. He also chose to reveal himself through creation. He's chosen to reveal himself through the written word. And I won't spend a lot of time here, but Psalms 19, again, with David saying, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord are clear, giving insight to life. Reverence the Lord. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are warnings to those who hear them. There is great reward for those who obey him. Through his word, God reveals his wrath and his righteousness and his love and his grace. I want you to think about it. God could have taken the stars, and this would have been cool. He could have taken the stars and wrote, God loves you, and had them blink anytime he wants to. But just reading that wouldn't really prove that he loved us, would it? I mean, we could see it, we could hear it, but that would that really prove that he loved us? No. So he went further than his word. He went on to reveal us, speak to us through his son. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he said, this is how much he loved you, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For he sent his son into the world not to condemn it, but that through him the world might be saved. And he who has the son has life, and he who does not is condemned already. He sent his son, not a sign in the stars, but his son, to tell us that he is the truth, he is the way, and he is the life, and no one can come to the Father except through him. Now I want you to think about how personal he was. God gave man the mind to make steel, to take that steel and forge the head of a hammer and nails. He grew a tree. He gave man the power to cut that tree down and to take that tree and forge a handle for that hammer and put it together. And then he took his own hands and he laid them out, and he allowed man to drive those nails in his hands and hang them on the cross because he loved you. The God of the universe made it that personal to reveal himself and to prove that he loves us. And then he gave us choice, that we can either accept his love, submit to him and follow him, or reject him. And he tells us clearly, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the greatest tragedy is, after creating the whole world and doing all these things to make it possible for man to receive God and to have fellowship with Him and to be born again and have his family, the greatest tragedy is many people will say, no, I will not submit to the Creator of the world. I will do it my way, and I will take the consequences, because that's what's going to happen. Psalms 33 and 4 says, the word of the Lord holds true, and everything He does is worthy of our trust. And He makes it so simple. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Stand with me. Dear God, we do lift You up on high tonight because, Lord, You truly did came from heaven to earth to show us the way. The Creator of not only what we can see, but beyond what we can see and what we can't see. Lord, You made Yourself visible through creation. Lord, You made Yourself real to You through Your written word. And Lord, You even made it more personable with the living word. You've done everything to make it possible to receive forgiveness and to dwell with You. And Lord, I just pray tonight as we're here at the church or people watching on TV, and Lord, there may be they're looking for another way and they're thinking their good works or they know more than You, but God, reveal Yourself as the God of the universe who loves us so much that You gave Your Son for us, who died and, Lord, then rose from the dead to show us once again that He is God and He has power over life and death. And He offers that to all who will follow Him. Lord, just speak to our hearts tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.